When you're staying in, it can be hard to keep everybody happy. But never fear, we're here to help.
We've got a few recommendations to keep everybody in the family happy and stave off cabin fever. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. We're talking about family-friendly entertainment today on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
Support for Pop Culture Happy Hour and the following message come from APM with the podcast Terrible, Thanks for Asking. In each episode, Nora McInerney explores the real human stories behind the things people don't often like to talk about, like addiction, loss, and trauma. USA Today calls it a warm, tear-stained hug, and the New York Times says it's a gift to be able to listen. Find Terrible, Thanks for Asking wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back. You just met NPR Music Stephen Thompson. Also with us is Glenn Weldon of the NPR Arts Desk. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, Linda.
Just the three of us today here to share some favorites. We're thinking about, like, when everybody is staying home together, you're getting that cabin fever, you've got different tastes that you're trying to satisfy. Glenn, what do you want to give the people?
The goal here is to find something that will not discomfort the parents and will not cause the kids to roll their eyes. And so I'm going to go on brand. I'm going to say ruthlessly on brand. See how long it takes for you to get it. I'm going to suggest the 1958 film Auntie Mame.
Oh.
Starring Rosalind Russell as a wealthy bohemian woman in Manhattan who takes her nephew Patrick under her wing right before the stock market crash of 1929. This is big. This is broad. This is Technicolor. But in the end, it's a film about resilience and seizing opportunity and maintaining a healthy, iconoclastic attitude. It is, however, 2.5 hours long, which sounds antithetical toward appeasing the kids. The thing about this movie, though, is that it becomes a different film about every 20 minutes or so. It just ultimately just keeps changing. She's a society hostess, then she's a shop girl, then she's an actress, then an office worker, then a Southern Belle. And then she's a writer. And the look of the film keeps changing to reflect that. It's very quotable. It's gorgeous to look at. It does reward repeated viewings. I know that because I watch it every New Year's Day.
I think I have watched it with you.
I was going to say, I have too.
Yep. You could just watch it for Coral Brown's line delivery as Vera Charles, her actress friend, or Peggy Cass as a secretary Agnes Gooch. I think what's fascinating about this film for me is that the men in the film are complete duds. This film is not about the dudes. This is about the women. Two warnings, very crucially. The character of her butler, Ito, played by the fantastic character actor Yuki Shimoda, is a cringeworthy stereotype, and that would be bad enough, but he's like one of the first things that hits you as soon as the movie opens.
Yeah.
He's not so much a fully fleshed out character as he is a kind of a hate crime, but tough that out. Second thing is, do not, under any circumstances, mistake the 1958 film Auntie Mame, starring Rosalind Russell, for the 1974 film Mame, starring Lucille Ball. That's the musical based on the 1966 Broadway musical, which I do recommend the musical. Music's great. The performances in the film are not the performance, I'll say. Lucille Ball is terrible as Mame. If you go to a gay bar on Show Tonight, you will see a clip of Lucille Ball and Bea Arthur doing the number Bosom Buddies. That's all you need from that film.
Mm-hmm.
But stick with the 1958 film Auntie Mame.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn Weldon. Stephen Thompson, what do you got?
Well, what I have is absolutely perfect for your entire family. It has science. It has explosions. It has laughs. I am talking, of course, about Mythbusters.
Oh, sure.
Which aired on the Discovery Channel for 14 glorious seasons, which you can really drop in on absolutely any episode. It is streaming on Hulu, and it is just a perfect mixture of each episode is different, but each episode has a certain amount of routine to it. Your little kids will watch things blow up and fall down or otherwise just make a lot of noise, and adults can plug into the puzzle aspect of it. What will happen? I have enjoyed this show enormously with my kids, more when they were littler, but that is a show, if I were with my now 19 and 16 year old kids and we were sitting down, we could put on Mythbusters and watch a whole bunch of episodes of Mythbusters, probably remembering maybe how a lot of the experiments turned out, it wouldn't feel like, the kids wouldn't feel watching it like, oh, this is little kid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's a really, when you're talking about entertainment for the whole family, this show really is ages 2 through 100.
Mm-hmm.
There's no age group that is really left out by this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think we've ever actually done a full episode talking about this show. But Linda, I know you are a Mythbusters person.
For sure, yeah.
And I mean, the mixture of like Daredevil, Tori Belleci, like breaking himself against buildings and whatnot, Grant Imahara making science weirdly cool, Carrie Byron is awesome. Mm-hmm. I've always gotten such a kick out of this show, and it is streaming on Hulu. You can drop in and spend hundreds of hours with it.
Yeah, the chemistry of the hosts is a big part of the appeal of that show. Yes, the experiments, but they have gone out of their way to make sure that the different hosts slot into different roles, mm-hmm. and the interplay between them is really what keeps you coming back for more for me.
Yeah, Jamie Hyneman and Adam Savage complement each other perfectly.
Thank you very much, Stephen Thompson. So the thing that I picked comes from a little boomlet of kind of great teenager and high school broadcast shows that happened in the 1990s into the early aughts. And because you can think a lot of different ways about what family-friendly is, right? This is not necessarily a pick for your little kids, less because it's going to be bad for them and more because they won't care. but if you have, let's say, anybody between 12 and 100, I would try My So-Called Life, had one season that ran in 1994-95, starring a very young Claire Danes, who at the time was already obviously a star, even though she is a little child. It is a fantastically empathetic, kind of melancholy. It's so teenager to me in this great way, because it respects the fact that things that feel so important when they're happening to you in high school. You know, whether they will actually matter when you're 40 or not is irrelevant, because you feel so deeply. Yeah. When you're that age, there are some wonderful performances here. In addition to Claire Danes, I think Bess Armstrong as her mother is really wonderful in a very difficult role. And Wilson Cruz plays Ricky, who is Ricky Vasquez is such an interesting kind of very early television queer teenager. Mm-hmm. Who is played with such empathy and beauty and sadness in some ways. I just think this show is one that covers a lot of ground. Some of the episodes are fun and funny. Some of them are really heartfelt. That talks a lot about relationships with parents, relationships among friends. It gets at the fact that the worst breakups in high school are with your friends, not necessarily with the people that you're dating. It's just great stuff. So I'm going to pick My So-Called Life.
Where is it streaming?
You can find it. You can stream it on the ABC website. You can also find it on some of your kind of like streaming stores, your Amazon and iTunes and things like that. So those are our picks for kind of family-friendly crowd pleasers. If you have some, feel free to share them with us on Facebook at facebook.com/PCHH or tweet us at PCHH. Thanks for being here, you guys, to talk about this.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of you for listening. Sign up for the newsletter. It's at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We will see you all back here next time.
The coronavirus pandemic is changing everything really fast. So we have created a podcast where you can hear conversations and stories from NPR journalists who are covering the pandemic, the public health fight against it, and how the world is coping. I'm your host, Kelly McEvers. Listen and subscribe to Coronavirus Daily from NPR.